You know, it's interesting. The other day, I was walking my dog. It was actually, I shared this story with the Bible study on Wednesday, because I was out walking my dog. I'd gotten up at 5:30 in the morning, and you know, and as I took Jake, you know, down the street, as I'm walking along, I mean, it's early. I mean, it's not even light yet, and I'm walking down, and all of a sudden I see that, you know, my neighbor's sprinkler head. It's like broken off one thing. It's shooting up water into the air. I mean, it's been like this for 2 months, you know. And I'm kind of like, you know, what's up with this? Why, you know, why has it got to be like that? And then all of a sudden, I walk a little further, and there's another guy walking the dog. And I think, oh, that's good. He's a little bit further away. I'm thinking, well, I hope the dogs don't get too close to each other. And I see the dog go, take him, do his business. And I see the guy just walk and leave it there. I mean, I'm like, you know, what's up with that? I go down Saks and I turn left onto 26, which I normally do because it's a mile around. And as I'm going down 26, all of a sudden there's somebody, you know, trying to pull out of their driveway. They aren't looking. They're not awake yet. They nearly hit me. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. It's not even 7 o'clock yet, and I've got all these negative thoughts. Why am I reacting that way? Why am I not sort of just saying, it's just life? It's just life. You know, so often in times in our life, I think that it's hard to set ourselves, at least for me, aside from all the things that are in the world. You know, I mean, you know, everybody's normal till you get to know them. And, you know, and you know, people tend to, at least a good portion of them, irritate you at times. Things don't go your way. And yet so often in times we wake up and think, ah, it's a new day, it's going to be great. And if you're like me, sometimes it just goes south real quick. You know, I say that as I think of the gospel story that we have today. The gospel story that we have today is the story of Jesus. If you remember this, just the part that we have is after the feeding of the 5,000, that's men plus women and children, okay? And it's after he does that. But when he goes out, he's out in the wilderness trying to get some rest. And when he goes out, before he feeds them, all of a sudden there's all these people that are following him. And he goes out and he has compassion, it says, for them. Has compassion for them. And so, you know, at the end of his teaching, at the end of healings and stuff like that, he says to the disciples, you know, let's feed them. You know the story. There's 5,000. He goes, with all these people, there's no way we're going to get enough food to feed them. And all of a sudden, Andrew comes up. That's the brother of Peter. And he says, you know, there's a kid here that's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus knows what he's going to do. And he takes 5 loaves, prays over them. They multiply. And you know what happens after that? Great time. There's 12 baskets of leftovers after that. They feed everybody. Everybody's filled. They're doing it. At that point, Jesus says, I really got to get some rest here. And he tries to go off and get some rest. The disciples, they sort of just wander around. Finally, they get on the lake because they're going over to Capernaum. And it says that Jesus wants to get away from the crowd. The reason why he wants to get away from the crowd, very simply, it's very clear in the Gospel of John. They want to take him by force and make him king. And he says, no, that's not the plan. So he withdraws. Well, the disciples are already on the lake trying to get across. Jesus goes and walks on water and meets up with them. And boom, as soon as he meets with them, after some encounter of discussion, boom, they're on the shore, and there they are. All of a sudden, the other people, as we're told in the story that was read today, they start taking off. And they say, where is he? Find him. Some people say, he's over by Capernaum. So they all take off. So here you have this mob that's stalking Jesus. They want to make him king, and he's, you know, somewhat trying, that's not the plan, let's get away from this. And at every turn he's trying to get away from, but all of a sudden they find him again. And what the gospel says today is that when they find him, they start asking him questions. And then Jesus looks at him and says, you're not here because you saw the signs. You're here because you got your stomach filled. You're here for the food. You see, the people were following him because they had gotten their needs met, which is a good thing. But that can't be the only reason why they come to God. And yet, I wonder how many times so many of us come to God because, well, I got to have my needs met. I mean, let's ask yourself the question. What do your prayers mainly deal with? Getting closer to Him or giving your litany of the things that you need straightened out in your life? I mean, are you just in relationship with Him so that you can have eternal life, fire insurance? Or are you in relationship with Him to just fix your life? Or are you in relationship with Him that goes beyond just transaction, just to be what you were called to be as you were created to be? You're created to walk with God, each and every one of us. Genesis is very clear about that. You know, He gave you work to do while you're there, but the real reason was to be in relationship with God. And yet I wonder how many of us really go after a relationship with God that's intimate rather than transactional. I mean, there's transactions in every relationship. But you know exactly what I mean, because I would venture to guess each one of you have at least one, if not a couple, of friends that you just are friends with just because it is. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a parent. You know, it could be any kind of combination. But where you just, I just got to be in relationship. It's not dependent upon how it goes with them. It's more dependent on the connection to them, the intimacy with them. Yes, there are transactions in every relationship. But the relationship that I believe that the Scripture teaches is that we're called to God to have is an intimate relationship. That it's just being with them. No matter what the outcome is, no matter what happens, no matter what's ahead, it doesn't really matter. It's not dependent upon whether He gives me what I want or not. It's just the nature of who I am. I just got to be with Him. I mean, think about it. Where is your relationship with Him? Is it dependent on that transaction? On Him doing what you want? Is it dependent upon fear? Well, I better get eternal life, so I got to have something in my pocket. Or is it dependent on, I just have to know Him. I just want to be with the person of Him. You know, it's funny because this conversation goes with Jesus and the people at this time after He basically said, you're just following me because of the pills. You know, He says, you know, you need to be filled up with the bread comes from heaven. Then they all of a sudden quote Moses, you know, and Jesus has to straighten out. They say, well, you know, Moses gave us the manna from heaven when we're in the desert. And Jesus said, yeah, by the way, that wasn't Moses giving you the bread from heaven. That was my Father giving you the bread from heaven. So let's get it right, at least. And then He looks at him and He says to him, quite frankly, He says, you know, you got to do the work of being connected. And they say, what must we do? This is a question that's always been wonderful in my mind in the Scripture. What must we do to do the work of God? What must we do to do the work of God? And Jesus' response is really simple. To do the work of God is to believe in the one who He sent. Doesn't say, get it all right. Doesn't say, you know, look good, smell good, the whole nine yards. It just believe. Believe in the person, even when some of the facts that you've collected or perception that you have is that, what's He doing? It's just believing He's always there or He's always with you at every second. No matter what goes on, He's always going to be there. I'll be up front with you. You know, a lot of my life have been prayers that have gone on. God, please get me out of the jam on it. God, please let me not suffer the consequences. God, please, you know, get me through this or straighten this out or fix this or whatever. And almost every time when I've done that in the last 30 years, somehow along the line, He keeps me on that need-to-know basis and He makes me wait. And I think He makes me wait because it's in that waiting that all of a sudden I say, look, it doesn't matter how it turns out as long as I'm with You. And when I get to that place where I say, it doesn't matter how all this turns out, I just need to be with you. Then all of a sudden there's a peace that passes all understanding comes inside me. To me, that makes me so happy and joyful, even when everything's falling apart, because it's almost like if I'm just with you, it's all going to be okay. I don't know what okay means, but it's not dependent upon that. You know, it's funny because as I look at my future, because I mean, I'm getting down here closer now. You know, some of you, you know, I'm almost done. You know, it's the end of the year coming quick. And, you know, it's funny because I've been praying, you know, Lord, please let me know what I've got to do next. And as I said last week, you know, I know that these last 40 years have been not what I was supposed to do, but preparation for what I'm going to do. Because I believe everything is preparation for the next thing you're doing. And so the last 40 years of doing ministry is preparing me for something else, you know. I've tossed around a lot of ideas, everything from washing dishes at Denny's. I knew I could succeed at that, you know, to, you know, Adam Berenger over at SoNap always said, you know, you could be the bartender for me because you know everybody and you don't drink and you live within walking distance. It'll really work well. And, my response is, well, I've been running a wine bar for the last 40 years, you know. But my latest idea was, because the nature of this job is very similar to other jobs, the nature of this job, to me, I started thinking, you know, it's a lot like a game show host. You know, think about it, some of the stuff that I've got to do. Come on down. You know what I mean? Here you go. And so I started doing some research on the original game show. And the first game show just about really stayed on TV was Truth or Consequences, with Bob Barker as the primary guy. There was about four other ones, but Bob Barker was. They had Beulah the Buzzer. And I don't know if you even remember, it went from the 50s through about 1988. Truth or Consequences. And it was a crazy thing. It was a bunch of skits. I mean, it was the stuff I used to do in Young Life years ago. I mean, it was, you know, everything from, you know, one episode that I researched, it said that, you know, they got a bunch of ladies, five ladies, they came in, they said, like a bargain basement, you had to go through a bunch of clothes, and whatever you found, a little slip of a prize, you'd win that prize, and so you got these five ladies going through this pile of clothes, throwing stuff all over the place. Another one was where this woman that they had hired, who was a beautiful model, she had a set of glasses that says, if you kiss me, I'll give you $50, okay, on her glasses. And she had sunglasses on, and then they got in a farmer from Indiana who came out, who was married, and they stood him next to each other. He thought the woman was another contestant out of the thing, and so they started questioning each other, and Bob Barker said, look at her glasses closely. And, you know, the guy, I mean, it's right, you can see it, you know, if you kiss me, you'll get $50. Well, the bottom line is the guy never got there. He ended up getting a drill set, though, you know? Yeah, I mean, everybody gets a prize, even if you lose. But the one that was the most funny to me was the one that actually initiated first, and it came out, it was two ladies from the audience. They came out, one lady was from Brooklyn, the other one was from California, and they came out, and the question they had was, and usually the questions you can't answer. I mean, they're ridiculous. But the question that they presented to the two ladies was, is 40 the beginning of life? And the answer would be, not if you went 60 when you were 20, okay? Well, neither of them got it. So then they had to go into the consequences of not getting it. And the consequences, they asked each woman, what was the perfect man? What was the average man in the United States? Well, it was perfect, what they figured. You know, I mean, number one, how old was he? Number two, how tall was he? Number three, how much did he weigh? Number four, was he married or not? And number five, how many children he had? And then they sent the women out onto the streets of Hollywood to find a man that matched what they thought, and to bring him back without asking him, you know, all those details. The lady from Brooklyn won. It was really kind of funny. She was nuts. But it was interesting because everybody won a prize, even if you didn't do it right. And it tried to lead you into getting yourself to a more understanding of truth. Now, you're probably sitting there saying, why is he talking about this? And the truth of the matter is, I'm going to start a show after I'm retired called Truth and Consequences. Because I believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is in the consequences of our life. Take a look at it. Isn't that where you see him most clearly? It's not when everything's going smooth. It's where all of a sudden, in the midst of the most difficult times in your life, he shows up, he's there, because he's always been there, and you finally recognize him. And he becomes the bread of life that fills you up, maybe not as if your stomach's filled, but he fills you up with that joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruits of the Spirit. But you've got to know him through those qualities and not just look at him for what he does for you. It's rather for the qualities that he has, that he's given to you, that he wants you to live into. Which comes out to what? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You see, those are the fruits of the Spirit, which, by the way, are from the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, which is God. Those are what we're supposed to have. And they come to us usually not in just life, but usually where we see them the most of the time is in the consequences of life, the difficult times. It's when you lose somebody. It's when everything's out of control. It's when you don't know which way's up or which way's down. It's when you're really disappointed and you thought you were going to get something, but you didn't get it. It's where you know that you got a faith that'll get you through it because you got a God that's with you to carry you when you need to get carried. What must we do to do the work of God? Well, it's not being perfect. It's not having all your morals and ethics just exactly in the right little box. It's not, you know, doing everything the way everybody else tells you. It's rather believing in the one who he sent, just believing in him. Because somehow in the belief in God, through Jesus Christ, there's something that makes us unite to where we are actually walking back in the garden, naked and unashamed, unafraid, because he knows all and he is all and he'll be with us through all things. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what it's all about. That's what it's always been all about. But it's not just about the transactions. It's not about performance. It's about intimacy that produces response. Of living in a way that reflects the living God. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come knowing this. God's knocking at the door of your heart right now. You might already have him in, but he's knocking just to get your attention again. Because he wants you to be filled with him, because it's in being filled with him you are filled with the bread of life. You're filled with the Creator himself, and you're in the process of becoming a little bit less of what you are right now and turning into a little bit more of what you ought to be, because you finally got in rhythm with the Creator. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.